Imagine this. Just a simple drawing, right? Shared pretty casually on Instagram. Fast forward maybe a couple of years, and that same drawing, it's part of a book. And not just any book. We're talking Million Soul, a record-breaking run at the top of the Sunday Times charts. And for some people, they've actually said it will save their life. This isn't some massive, complicated novel or, you know, a dense self-help guide. It's The Boy, the Mole, the Fox, and the Horse by Charlie Mackesy. So today, we're doing a deep dive into this, well, this really quite unassuming book. How did it manage to capture the hearts of so many people across different generations? How did it become this source of comfort in what's felt like a pretty turbulent world?
Yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it? How something that looks so simple, just, you know, a few lines, some gentle words, and how that could provide such such profound comfort and insight, too, especially when, as a society, we seem to need it most. So we'll trace its journey, which is really unique, from that first Instagram sketch to, well, a global publishing sensation. We'll try and unpack the messages, the sort of delicate storytelling that clicked with people. And then, yeah, connect it to maybe some broader historical things, societal trends, why this book, why now?
Exactly. So for you, the learner, navigating this world just full of information, what's the takeaway here?
Yeah.
Get ready, because we're going to uncover the maybe unexpected power of simplicity, kindness, and just connection. Okay, let's unpack this journey then. Because it didn't start the usual way, did it? Not in a publisher's office. It started with Charlie Mackesy just sharing his art on Instagram. You can almost picture it. This delicate sketch, a little boy, looks barely like a toddler, with this slightly worried-looking mole beside him. And the caption was something like, Tales from the Underground. Another mole day, I think. Simple.
Simple. And the reaction was immediate and really warm. People weren't just hitting like. They were commenting, saying things like, it took them right back to the feel of my own storybook childhood. There was this instant, almost gut-level connection, something comforting, familiar.
Yeah, you felt that straight away.
And, you know, what strikes me about how it got published is just how unconventional it all was. The editor, Laura Higginson, at Ebree Publishing, she admitted it was, well, a hard sell for them at the beginning.
Oh, really? Why was that?
Well, think about it. Mackesy, he had a relatively small social media following back then. He didn't even really know what the plot would be if there was a plot. And there weren't many books like it on the market to compare it to. It just didn't fit a neat category.
Ah, okay. So it was a risk.
A definite risk. But despite all that, the team there, they were just convinced they saw this emotional potential. Apparently, people all across the company were saying, wow, what he's doing is really beautiful. It was like that feeling, that emotion, it just bypassed the usual business calculations.
That conviction, that's so important, isn't it? That they listened to that feeling. And then it just took off.
Oh, it was a whirlwind. Absolutely.
You hear stories about late night meetings, this creative juggle, because Mackesy was delivering pages almost as he drew them.
Right.
Not from a finished script.
Exactly. Sketching out the next bit of dialogue, the next scene as he went. And then as publication got closer, the pre-orders just flooded in. Thousands upon thousands.
Wow.
The demand was just huge. Ebree actually had to hire extra drivers just to get copies delivered through the night. Lorries were apparently turning right around to go pick up the next batch immediately.
Incredible. It wasn't just launching a book. It was like feeding this huge public hunger that was already there.
It really was. And the book itself, it still challenges definitions, you know? It's not really a linear story, not a complex plot. It's more a collection of these quiet thoughts, these gentle conversations between the four characters.
The boy, the mole, the fox, the horse.
Right. They just sort of meet along the way, share a bit of wisdom, show their vulnerabilities, make simple observations about life. And the truly remarkable thing is how it works as well for eight-year-olds as it does octogenarians.
Yeah, that's key. It defies those usual age brackets or genres.
Totally. Its beauty is in that simplicity, isn't it? The conversations just land regardless of your age because they're about universal human stuff,
right?
Not about specific life stages. And that broad appeal, that timeless quality, that's absolutely central to why it became so huge.
You're absolutely right that accessibility is a massive part of its magic. But okay, beyond the massive sales figures, the speed, the real story starts with the readers, doesn't it? The surprise hit, it didn't just sell, it became the longest running Sunday Times hardback chart topper ever. Well, as of late 2021 anyway. But the impact, it goes way beyond just sales numbers. It connected on a really personal level, became like a quiet friend for so many.
It absolutely did. I mean, this book offered hope. That's the word people use. And it offered it during a really turbulent time, globally speaking. Specifically, it landed in those final dark months of 2019, then the shaky start of 2020, and right into the swirling chaos of the pandemic year.
Right. You think about what people were feeling then.
Mm-hmm.
Anxiety, isolation, fear.
Exactly. And Mackesy's book, it just spoke directly to that longing people had for comfort, for some understanding, for connection. When everything felt so uncertain, it was like this soft, reassuring voice cutting through all the noise.
And you saw real evidence of that message spreading, didn't you? Beyond just the book itself. That painting Mackesy did, the boy asking the horse about bravery.
Ah, yes. What's the bravest thing you've ever said?
And the horse just replies, help.
Mm-hmm.
That image became almost iconic. You saw it on notice boards, schools, prisons, hospital walls. His drawings about kindness, about supporting each other. They even appeared as murals on buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the most personal sign of connection, people started getting tattoos of the characters.
Mm.
It became this powerful shared symbol, didn't it?
Yeah.
Of vulnerability, but also strength.
The individual stories are just, they're incredibly powerful. They really show the depth of it. Like Lindsay Ritchie, who was going through chemo for breast cancer, she said the book was refreshingly simple, uncomplicated, and fresh, and that it gave her strength, encouragement, laughter, and a voice when things were really hard. It wasn't offering complex answers, just validation.
Just being seen, yeah.
And then even more profoundly, you have someone like John Fish. He was experiencing suicidal thoughts because of workplace harassment. He said the book literally saved his life. He said he held onto those pages very close during the darkest moments. Just the gentle words, the feeling of companionship in the book, it offered him a lifeline when he felt completely alone.
Gosh, those are incredibly moving examples. And you see that same feeling echoed again and again online, don't you? On Amazon alone,
mm-hmm.
over 83,000 reviews. People saying it filled me with hope, mm-hmm. or it was a companion to help me through, or just that it offered a slice of calm in this hectic and mad world.
Mm-hmm.
So many people seem to keep it right by their bedside. Something to return to, like a touchstone for peace. It's not just a book you read once and put away. It's like
yeah.
a presence. A quiet friend.
It really is. And if we step back and look at the bigger picture, the timing becomes even clearer. Why this book resonated so deeply. Think about the late 2010s. Big, serious nonfiction was huge. Like Yuval Noah Harari, Sapiens. People wanted these grand explanations, these frameworks to understand a complex world.
Right, trying to make sense of it all intellectually.
Exactly. But then by the end of that decade and moving into the early 2020s, well, things felt different. We had the pandemic, yes, but also fears about conflict, the hashtag MeToo movement, Brexit fallout, climate disasters, incredibly polarized social media. There was this palpable shift. People, as one source put it, no longer needed the disasters explaining to them. They needed a hug.
Hmm. That's such a powerful way to put it.
They weren't looking for more data, more analysis. They were looking for comfort, for reassurance, for someone to acknowledge how they felt.
That shift. From the head to the heart, almost. It feels kind of counterintuitive, doesn't it? In a world that's always pushing for more complexity, more tech, more optimization. These simple drawings, these gentle words just cut through. But is this totally unique? Or have we seen this before? Has literature offered this kind of hug during other tough times?
Oh, we absolutely have. It's a fascinating pattern, actually. These kinds of literary phenomena, the ones offering comfort through simplicity, they often pop up during major global upheavals. Think about A.A. Milne's first Winnie the Pooh book, published in 1926.
That's after World War I.
Precisely. A time of immense trauma and loss. Professor Peter Hunt pointed out that Pooh just hit the mood. It offered this safe and comforting 100-acre wood, a sanctuary when people desperately needed one. And interestingly, Mackesy himself has acknowledged paying tribute to Shepard, Pooh's original illustrator. So there's a conscious link there.
That connection to Pooh makes so much sense. That feeling of safety. What else? Any other parallels?
Another really striking one is Richard Bach's Jonathan Livingston Seagull.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one. Big in the 70s.
Huge in the early 70s. A philosophical picture book aimed at adults. And it came out right in the middle of the disenchantment and loss of the Vietnam War. It offered this idea of self-fulfillment, of individual freedom, finding your own path, which really resonated with people questioning society then. And just like Mackesy's book, Jonathan Livingston Seagull apparently baffled booksellers.
Didn't know where to put it.
Exactly. Where does it fit? In the end, it often wound up right next to the tills. An impulse buy because it spoke to something deeper beyond categories.
That's amazing. There's a pattern here.
It seems so. These massive phenomena are rare, maybe once or twice a generation. 1920s, 1970s, now the 2020s. All periods of significant global stress, global turbulence. And in those times, what some people call cup of cocoa literature seems to provide that needed sanctuary. Milne created safety. Bach offered a kind of spirituality. Macassey explored maybe even simpler, more fundamental things. Love, hope, friendship, and the courage of asking for help.
Just the basics of being human, really.
Right. And they resonate so deeply now, not just because they're timeless, but because they speak directly to our current anxieties. In a time when, you know, mental health can't be taken for granted and kindness seems out of reach, these simple messages feel absolutely essential. They're not just nice words. They're almost like gentle instructions for how to cope, how to connect.
That's beautifully put. Not just feel good, but like an emotional toolkit.
Yeah.
And the impact wasn't just personal, was it? It received a lot of formal recognition, too.
Mm.
It was the Barnes & Noble Book of the Year in 2019, Waterstone's Book of the Year as well, shortlisted for the British Book Awards in 2020, sold, what, over 250,000 copies in the U.S. alone? It really went everywhere.
Absolutely. And that enduring popularity, it naturally led to an animated film, an adaptation. Which felt like a testament to its appeal, but also to the visual power of MacKenzie's drawings.
Right. How do you capture that feel?
Well, crucially, Charlie Macassey himself co-directed the film. That was announced back in October 2022, which suggests, you know, a real intention to keep that original spirit, that intimacy, that hand-drawn feel, even in animation.
That makes sense. Keep the heart of it intact.
Yeah. And they got a really impressive voice cast, too. Tom Hollander as the mole, Idris Elba the fox, Gabriel Byrne as the horse, plus big names like J.J. Abrams and Woody Harrelson as executive producers. It was clearly a project treated with a lot of respect.
It wasn't just a quick cash-in adaptation, then. And the film itself did incredibly well, didn't it? It aired on BBC One Christmas Eve 2022. Became kind of instant festive viewing here. And then Apple TV Plus picked it up for the rest of the world the very next day. So boom, global reach.
Mm-hmm. Instant global reach.
And then the ultimate accolade, really, it won the Academy Award for Best Animated Short Film in March 2023.
Amazing. Just amazing.
Yeah. There was even a BBC documentary about Macassey and the making of the film. Mm-hmm. His friend Bear Grylls was involved in that, exploring the story behind it all. It just became this whole multimedia phenomenon, reaching even more people.
From Instagram sketch to Oscar winner.
Exactly. So we've traced this journey from, yeah, quiet Instagram drawing, something an artist just shared, to an Academy Award-winning film loved by millions. All because this book, in its beautiful, deceptive simplicity, just spoke to something really fundamental inside us. It's quite a story of connection, isn't it?
It truly is. And this whole deep dive, it just reminds us, doesn't it, that in this age of, well, information overload, constant complex challenges, endless data streams. Sometimes the most profound insights, the most meaningful connections, they come from the simplest places, from gentle conversations, from quiet reminders of basic human values. Kindness, vulnerability, friendship, it really speaks to our, you know, our enduring need for that connection.
So reflecting on this journey, what stands out most to you? For me, maybe it's that quiet courage involved in asking for help, the horse's line. Or just the simple grounding power of friendship when everything feels chaotic. Makes you wonder what other simple words or gestures are out there waiting to offer comfort.
That's a great point. And it raises a question perhaps for you listening in your own life as you're navigating things, seeking understanding, seeking connection. Maybe offering it too. What simple notions, maybe it is kindness or allowing vulnerability, but just being present for someone, what might be the most valuable for you to hold on to or to share today? Where can you find or maybe offer that cup of cocoa for the soul that we talked about?
Something to think about. Keep exploring, keep questioning. And until next time, keep digging deeper.